You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by Dr. Dale A. Meyer. Its title is, If Only I Were. And now here's Dr. Meyer.
I begin today's message with a little quiz, something to set you thinking. I want you to picture two separate things in your mind. First, picture in your mind the perfect body. The perfect body. Some kind of picture probably pops into your mind's eye. Maybe a picture from TV or from a magazine. Now, the second part of our little exercise. Picture in your mind the perfect soul. The perfect soul. Drawing a blank? Most people do. We live in a society that spends more time, money, and energy on our bodies than we do on our souls. We strive more to perfect our bodies than we do to develop our inner spirits. Now, why is our society like this? Some people are motivated by desire to feel better. Some want to look better. Some, more than others, enjoy the physical things of life. But striving for physical improvements can also be motivated by blame. There's the key word for today's message, blame. Many people in our society blame their dissatisfactions in life upon their physical appearance. You can try to manipulate your self-blame with excuses. If only I'd lose some weight. If only I were prettier. If only I were an athlete. If only I had prettier clothes. If only I were healthy. If only I were this, or if only I were that way. Many people aren't happy with themselves, and they dodge the bullet of blame with an excuse. They think that a physical change, some improvement in their body, will absolve them of the self-blame that they feel. Jesus handles blame in a totally different way. Jesus doesn't excuse you for being the way you are right now. And Jesus doesn't add to your self-blame for being the way you are. He doesn't have to. Whether you face it or try to make excuses, we don't blame ourselves without reason. Our self-blame isn't fiction. Your dissatisfactions with life aren't all imaginary. The fact is that when you blame yourself for the way you are, you're really onto something very important. Jesus once said to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 45, "Do not continue to think that I will accuse you before the Father. There is already one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you rested your hope." Jesus says, "I'm not going to accuse you. I don't have to. That's already been done by Moses." When Jesus said Moses, he meant God's demands on your life, the do's and the don'ts that God has revealed in the Bible, divine do's and don'ts that we don't always meet. Jesus didn't come to excuse or to add to your self-blame. You haven't lived up to those demands. So when you're blaming yourself for the way you are, when you trace many of your dissatisfactions with life back to yourself, you're really on to something very important. You're wrestling with the blame that rightfully is due you because of sin. Where so many people go wrong in our society is that they shift the blame to something in their physical lives. They try to escape blame with excuses. If only I were healthier. If only I were more attractive. And on ad nauseum. That's shifting the blame the way people have been doing ever since Adam tried to blame Eve, and Eve excused herself by blaming the serpent. All the excuses don't change the facts. Like Jesus said to the Pharisees, I don't have to accuse you. God's commands do that very, very well. Jesus doesn't shift the blame for your sin, nor does he want you to shift it by making excuses about your physical appearance. What Jesus does is to get you out from under the burden of self-blame and excuse-making. Oh, that must be a terrible burden that many of you are carrying around, blaming yourself for your problems with people, trying to convince yourself that a cosmetic change or something new in your physical appearance will help you relate better. Many of you are carrying an oppressive burden, and you're carrying it unnecessarily. You don't have to continue blaming yourself or trying to rationalize your problems with excuses. Jesus wants to come into your heart to remove your self-blame once and for all. Here's how it works. Blame leads to one of two things. Either it is proven that the blame was wrong, that you're innocent, or the blame leads to a guilty verdict. The accusation is found to be true. What Jesus did was to take the guilty verdict for your sins upon himself. He did this by putting himself under the judgment for your sins. Indeed, Jesus has carried more blame than any other person in the history of the world. Not that he deserved any of this blame. Oh, no. Jesus himself was blameless. Peter says in his first letter, Christ also suffered for you. He never sinned, nor was found to be deceitful when he spoke. When others abused him, he did not abuse them in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but left it in the hands of him who judges fairly. But Peter goes on to say that this blameless Christ endured the guilty verdict against you so that you could be acquitted, released from the blame of your sins. Peter says, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By taking the blame and judgment upon himself, Jesus can now take you out of the destructive habits of constant self-blame, of making excuses, and finally he takes you out of judgment for your sins. It all happens when you place your complete trust in him. I tell you the absolute truth, Jesus says in John 5:24, the person who listens to my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be judged. Do you know that even the devil himself can no longer blame you? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the rule of his Christ, because the accuser of our fellow Christians, the one accusing them before our God day and night, has been thrown out. And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb. For this be glad, you heavens, and those who live in them. Now if the devil, who is no insignificant character, cannot blame you and make it stick, why should you keep on blaming yourself? And why hide behind excuses? You don't have to explain your dissatisfactions in life with some superficial, if only I were like this, or if only I were like that. Changes in your physical appearance can't remove the blame you feel because of sin. Marilyn Monroe was a pretty good-looking woman, but her soul was tormented to the point of death. You're not going to be happy if you think some change in your body is going to give joy and peace to your soul. Go ahead. Strive to improve and perfect your physical appearance. Nothing wrong with doing that. But just remember, what's precious to God and what many people value most highly is your soul. Peter says in chapter 3, Do not let your beauty be something outward, such as braiding the hair, putting on gold ornaments and dresses, but let your beauty be the hidden person that you are in your heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is very precious to God. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the courageous Russian dissident, wrote a short prose piece called At the Start of the Day. It goes like this. At sunrise, 30 young people ran out into the clearing. They fanned out, their faces turned towards the sun, and began to bend down, to drop to their knees, to bow, to lie flat on their faces, to stretch out their arms, to lift up their hands, and then to drop back on their knees again. All this lasted for a quarter of an hour. From a distance, you might have thought they were praying. In this age, no one is surprised if people cherish their bodies patiently and attentively every day of their lives. But they would be jeered at if they paid the same regard to their souls. No, these people are not praying. They are doing their morning exercises. It's time for our society to cultivate the things of the spirit more than the things of the body. Take your choice. Which is most important? So now no condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says in Romans 8. Do you treasure that? Or do you say, if only I could fit into thinner clothes? Take your choice. Which is really more important? The Bible says, who will accuse those whom God has chosen? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ who died, and more than that, he rose. Do you find peace in that? Or do you choose to say, if only I could afford bifocals without a line? Take your choice. What makes you feel great? The Bible promises that when your faith has passed all its earthly tests and is proven to be more precious than gold which perishes, it results in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ appears again. Does that promise make you feel like a winner in life? Or do you say, if only I can keep pushing myself to compete with 20 and 30-year-olds in sport, then I feel like a winner. Take your choice. Are you going to wallow in self-blame because of your sins? Are you going to make excuses to dodge the fact of your own faults? Or are you going to give up your preoccupation with yourself and know, as it says in Acts 13, through this Jesus, forgiveness of sins is being announced to you, even for all the sins from which you could not be acquitted by keeping the law of Moses. Everyone who believes in Jesus is justified. It doesn't seem like any choice at all to me. Like the Bible says, let your beauty be the hidden person that you are in your heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is very precious to God. Only the word of Jesus can get behind the facade you present to the world. Only Jesus can cut through that attractive appearance you try to put on for the world, that attractive appearance that hides self-blame. Only Jesus can touch your soul with true beauty. If only I? No. Only Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.